everybody, and that is how you lived your life in wisdom or foolishness. Okay? And let me tell you, the great are not in any way insulated from being foolish. Okay? Because we're gonna find that out in a short order. As I've been going through, just trying to find ways to get everybody here to understand what God wants to say to us about wisdom, I was struck by this fact. There are choices in life that if you take the foolish route instead of the wisdom route, you can never recover from it. We know, all of us know, people get thrown in jail for the rest of their life. That's what we're talking about, just things like that. Or you do something that causes a calamity and you either have to live with the fallout of that thing, or it may get you. So this is not a minor issue with God. This is a huge thing, and God wants to have everybody understand. Well, how can I know whether it's wisdom or not? How can I know? So I want to go back to James chapter 3. We're going to start there, and then we're going to go back into an example that we're going to see of God's wisdom from the Old Testament. Really, really great Old Testament story. James chapter 3 tells you this will show you exactly what to look for when you are pondering something. How do I handle this situation? Okay, how do I handle this situation? And we need to see this. Just keep it with you if you possibly can. If you got a phone with the Bible app in it, you're great. Okay, you're going to be able to just get it in just a matter of seconds. But this is what we need to look for. God says, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So God looks at people's hearts, doesn't he? He can see what's in every heart. Therefore, we must pay a close attention to what's going through our heart. And if it's selfish ambition or jealousy, you can be rest assured Jesus isn't in the middle of that. Okay? He wasn't that way. He's humble. He was a servant to people. He loved people. There wasn't any jealousy. There wasn't any selfish ambition in him whatsoever. He came to the earth to die for us. And I know that people hear that and it goes in one ear and out the other. So here's how I like to say it. Jesus came to take your pile of sin that is as high as the Empire State Building. Take that thing and swallow it inside of himself. And he became all that for you. He didn't just go die like people are dying right now on this planet. He didn't just go die. He went and did something in his death that nobody else ever will be able to do, doesn't have to be able to do. Thank God we didn't have to go stand before God and say, did you ever sin once? No. Jesus is the only one that could say that. He was sinless. And his sinlessness is what exonerated him from the penalty of your sin being in him. God cannot be a just God and have him take your sin and then have him go to hell. He did it for 3 days, but he came back to life. Glory to God. So I'm just really opposed to telling people Jesus died for you. Don't stop there. Whatever you do, okay, make sure people understand he did something when he died for us. He did something that nobody can do, and that is where wisdom begins. Humanity has to have the wisdom to understand that one man, 33 years old, died for them one day in Israel and wiped out sin for the whole human race. Yeah. It's just too vast for us to really get a hold of. But we can hear it, and we can chew on it, and we can see little glimmers of light. So in that moment, then you and I decide, I'm going to follow wisdom. And then you start thinking, how do I do that? How do I follow wisdom, for heaven's sakes, when all my family seems to live by slogans? Anybody have a family that lives by slogans? Amen. Wives' tales? Husbands' tales? Grandpa's tales? Grandma's tales? And obviously, in most American families, some dog tales. Hallelujah. Dogs everywhere, aren't there? So he's going to say, all right, here we go. This is what God's wisdom looks like. You're in a situation where things are dicey, okay? And you're going to have to talk to somebody. I'm going to give you a testimony in just a second. How do you know you're going to have God's wisdom? Here's what he says. Verse 17, chapter 3, book of James, do not let this get away from you. But the wisdom from above is first pure. What does purity have to do with wisdom? I don't know. It's just first in the list. God must have just said, let's just throw it out. Listen, if he put it first, it's a big deal. It's pure. It's pure. There isn't any darkness in it at all. It is love. It is many qualities. He's going to list some of them now. First, above is first. Pure, it says in the New American Standard, then peaceable. If you watch movies today, nobody has any wisdom. Why? Because they're not peaceable. Amen? Well, unless you're watching, you know, pure flicks. Amen? If you're watching pure flicks, you're probably going to have the right thing in front of your eyes. But boy, is it ever an important issue for all of us to know that peace has to be in your heart and mind when we're dealing with things that we have to have wisdom. Here's the rest. First pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then reasonable. We're going to talk about reasonable in the account we're going to see. Then it says, full of mercy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got to be merciful. Hallelujah. And good fruits. And unwavering without hypocrisy. Boy, if there's anything God doesn't want you to do, is to go bawl somebody out, scream at somebody, straighten somebody up, correct somebody in a harsh way. When you're doing the same thing they're doing. Shut your mouth is wisdom at that point. Or tell them, you know what, I've had a horrible time with this same issue. So don't think I've got this thing cleared up. But I need to tell you something that might help you because I'm working on it too. See the difference? Okay, see the difference? Okay, so no hypocrisy. And then it says, when you sow this seed, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness, that's the wisdom of God, is sown in peace by those who make peace. So he is telling you all these things that are a part of wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened to me a couple of weeks ago. We had a service organization come and do some work for us. And when the work was finished, it wasn't done properly. It wasn't done thoroughly. And we had to do something about that because obviously they wanted to have us pay them for doing that. Amen. Like they should. If people do their job, they need to be paid for it. So as I found out about all the things that they didn't do and should have done, I was not going to be peaceable. How many know that's the first thing you're going to think about? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call those people up. I'm going to tell them, right, they're going to get no money from us, buddy. Until this thing is spit polished, I'll tell you right now, you renegades. So, man, it is not hard to feel self-justification, self-ambition. Should be everybody's ambition to have things done right. And so, as a pastor, I've never wanted to have the headline in the local newspaper be "Pastor Shoots Neighbor." I can't. Thought I'd just give you about as far off as you can get. Amen. And we all know that we have those kind of things that you just get so stirred up about. You like to just go up and wring somebody's neck, okay? But where is purity? Where is peaceableness? Where is no hypocrisy? Where is there an absence of selfish ambition and jealousy? Where that place is where wisdom is. So here's what I do. You don't have to do this, but this is what I do. I've been in situations, pastors probably more than anybody else in terms of having a job of conflict resolution, okay? We run into instances where you are trying your best to get somebody that's upset to be unupset, okay? And when people are upset and you tell them, I'm not on your side, I'm not on her side, I'm on the Bible side, they get mad. What do you mean? I've been coming to church all these years and you're not on my side? Nope. Nope. I'm on God's side. If you're on God's side, I'm all for you. Amen. See how quiet that got? It always does. Amen. So you have to learn how to talk to people with wisdom. I always wait if you have the opportunity to wait. I always wait until I can present what I want to present in the right way. See, everybody has a mouth. Everybody has words that come out of that mouth, but the way you use those words and what words that you use, the way that those things come out, the sound the intention, all those aspects of communication, they all need to go through the list we just read. And you can feel real good about it. Going, yeah, I got it. I got it. So I called him up. We've been doing business with this group for almost 20 years. And when I call them, the secretary always says, "Hi, Pastor Brian, what can I do for you?" Well, I really didn't want to just come on court. So I said, "You guys sent a serviceman out, and I just have a list here, and I need you to tell me about how you deal with these things." She said, "Well, sure. Okay." And I just went through this list of about seven things that we didn't feel like was right, that they weren't dealt with. Just read a list. And she said, "They didn't what? They didn't do that? Oh, Pastor, we'll get them right back out there. Go on to the next one. Okay, how about this? Oh, that one, no, we don't do that one. That's another thing. We weren't doing that kind of service. But if you want us to, we will, but it'll cost you extra." I said, "Oh, okay, good, thanks. Good to know that." Then I go to the next one. "They didn't do that either. Pastor, I'll get them right out there." And they got another guy out, and they got it done. No charge, of course. No strife. It was all, "Pastor, we'll get that done. I'm sorry about that." See the difference between having something that you could have said a completely different way. "I will never do business with you people again. I am so stinking mad at that serviceman. He should never be a part of a service organization, all right? The guy just plain didn't get it done." Amen. Yeah. It's just so easy to do because that's a part of humanity's fallen side. Okay. So we're gonna and I know this gets confusing to people. But we're going to go to a real remarkable decision-making moment in a king's life. And he had the odd name of Jehoshaphat. Amen. If it was me, I would call him Jehoshathin. Amen. To go along with the age we're living in. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you can turn there, or you'll see it on the screen because Jerry is all over it. Praise God. And I'm going to talk to you about this guy, Jehoshaphat. Where did Jehoshaphat come from? That is important. So let me run through some things about Jehoshaphat because we need to know where the wisdom came from that this man used. How many know that you're going to have wisdom or foolishness depending on who you follow? Okay. So if you hang around the wrong crowd, you'll think going out and stealing is the way to live. Until the guys with the red lights on their cars catch you. Okay? So there's all kinds of wisdom in the Bible that we've got to have. How many know who King David was? King David was an anointed of God king that God himself chose for the people of Israel. Boy, there's a whole nother sermon there, but I won't touch that today. God didn't want them to have a king. He told them. He told Samuel. He said, tell them this king business is not a good thing, because the king is going to take all the best of the land and give them nothing. And that's exactly what the kings did. Okay? So he's trying to get him to see he's way better off, they're way better off just having him as their king. But no, they want a king that you can see so that they can follow him. And boy, let me tell you, these historical books of the Bible are in there for a great purpose. God wants you to see, in one application of wisdom, how following a king got people into the greatest blessing that they ever had, or absolutely devastated them and killed a whole lot of their families. So David was a great king. He's one of the few men in the Bible that God gave the biggest crown to. We'll just say it with that paraphrase. Okay, he has equipped some men with wisdom. David was one of them. David's son Solomon was another one. Okay, in fact, Solomon had, the Bible says clearly, when Solomon came to take the throne from his father, he said, God came down from heaven and started talking to him. Said, okay, here's what I need you to do. Now, if you ever get this opportunity, I hope you have wisdom. Because God said to him, what do you want me to give you? Said to Solomon, what do you want me to give you? Solomon's dad had trained him that the principal thing was wisdom. It's all through the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are David speaking to Solomon. No, they're David's teaching to Solomon, translated from Solomon to his sons. So Solomon wrote many of the Proverbs. Okay, he said, Lord, give me wisdom to lead this people. Give me wisdom. That thrilled God so much. He said, You didn't ask for gold or silver, so I'm going to give you more gold or silver than anybody ever had or ever will have. Amen. Amen. Bill Gates is not rich compared to Solomon. Amen. So you got to understand, man. Oh, brother. David was a remarkable man, but David made a mistake. And when you're a king and you make a mistake, it can affect everybody. Now, hang on. How many people do you know that have ever said when they got caught in sin, what I was doing didn't hurt anybody else? I've heard father after father after father say that. Well, what I was doing wasn't hurting my kids. They weren't drinking the whiskey with me. What I was doing wasn't hurting my kids. What am I doing? No. You don't have one clue. Because when you open the door to your family, the devil will walk in and go, thank you. Yes, wow, I'm so glad to be here now, because I'm going to tear your place apart. Yes, he will. Every one of your kids is going to jail. Yes. I mean, I got you now. Okay? So, the door opens through foolishness. And wham, you're in trouble. So, there's about 1,000 sermons in each of these. having a horrible time not just taking off on about 1,000 ways. So we need to understand, when David didn't go to war in the spring like he always had, David was a great warrior. Okay? So he decided not to go, and all of his, he had a group called the Mighty Men of David. They all had houses around his palace. And the women in the time of war would go on top of their houses to bathe. Obviously, when the men were in the camp, they knew not to do that. But when all the men were gone, then they would go up there. That's what Bathsheba was doing. She was taking a bath. And she had no idea that the king, who was next door looking down on her, she had no idea he wouldn't be out at the battlefield. No idea. So now he makes the biggest mistake of his life. And you know what that mistake was? It wasn't what you think. Because God told him exactly why he was going to have a seed that would never die in his family. Here's what it was. God said, now that you have killed with the sword, that's a paraphrase, the sword will never leave your house. Now it was bad enough that he took Bathsheba and took her husband and sent him to the front of the line. Again, her husband is one of 30 men in a several hundred thousand man army that was qualified to be one of the great men of war for a king named David. And here you just going, you've got to be kidding me. He has that guy that is loyal to him, a man of great caliber. He's going to kill that man. And when God saw him do that, he said, all right, this is the way it works. What you sow, you reap. And therefore, now the sword is going to go right through your family. Now, I don't know about you, but that move that day, killing a guy to get his wife, that thing impacted the whole future of a nation. Well, it's just my sin. It's not bothering anybody else. No. No, 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 no. If you're in a high position, it's going to affect everybody. So, here's what happened. We have David passing on the crown to Solomon. Solomon had great wisdom. He was a great builder. God wanted him to build the awesome, awesome, awesome tabernacle so that they could have church. Amen. Solomon passed the thing on to a young man named Rehoboam. And when Rehoboam got into the king of the kingdom, he did something that blows my mind. His daddy was the richest man that ever will walk on the face of this planet. And you know what ruined Rehoboam? He said this. He got the old men that were Solomon's advisors when he was crowned king. Then he got the young men, which were his buddies. See the picture? There are the old boys. And there's my bud right over there. Yeah. You guys tell me what to do. The old men said, take the taxes down off the people. The young men went, no, 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 no. That means it's cutting our finances down. And Rehoboam said, I'm going with the young guys. When he went with the young guys, he split the country. Now, let me tell you, we're living in a country that's just as split as they were. Israel went north. 10 tribes went to the north. 2 tribes stayed in the south where Jerusalem is. That was Benjamin and Judah. Judah was the tribe of David. Now you're saying, come on, get to the wisdom side of this stuff. Okay? Got to wade through it a little bit so that you can understand what's going on. Okay? So now we have 2 camps. We have a group that is Israel, and that group went immediately into idolatry. Rehoboam's group stayed with the Lord to some degree. So we have Rehoboam, and then we have Abijah. And this man, Abijah, was a good king, okay? He had some problems at the end, but he was a good king. He had a son named Asa. Asa was a good king. Those kings were living in wisdom. Both of them made some mistakes. Then came Jehoshaphat. Now, all those men in their lives, they had consistent war. It was warfare time. Whoever's the strongest wins the spoil. So you're going to find in this section of Scripture, you're going to find people going in, having a battle, and taking all the spoil from the guys that attacked them. Okay? Or if they attacked somebody else, they took all their stuff. And here we find in the 20th chapter, that exact issue coming into Jehoshaphat's world. It says, now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, that's the Esau crowd, the Esau that God said, I hated Esau. The man sold his inheritance for a bowl of soup. Okay? So the Esau crowd, and then another group, they're called Mount Seir. Those 3 camps got together, and they are going to attack King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat had a great army, but it was in numbers. It was nothing like the army that he was facing. So we're going to go real quick here. Here's what happened. So men came. They told Jehoshaphat was... what was happening, that all this huge army was getting close. They were coming to Israel. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. Everybody say afraid. Afraid. Now listen to what he did in his fear. And turned his attention to seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Israel. If you want to get results from God in the middle of the vice of life starting to clamp down on you, I would suggest that you take some time to fast. These guys didn't have much time because this army was coming their way. And I'm going to have to paraphrase a lot of this so that we can get through it. So Jehoshaphat said, okay, first thing is this. I am terrified. And when I'm terrified, I know there's one place I need to go. And he went to the house of the Lord. He went there to seek the Lord, called a fast all over the land. And they're fasting and they're praying about this oppression. And then he and I don't have time to do it today, but he prayed one of the coolest prayers ever. He just reminded God of all the things that God had done to give the land that they were on to the people of Israel. Okay? He just went through all the things. God, you gave us this. You gave us this. These guys are trying to take it. These guys are trying to take it away from us. And these are the very same guys that when we were walking through on our way to this promised land, we were walking through their land. We could have stomped these guys, but we didn't touch them. They said, you can't come through our land, so we went around the land. We didn't get in any conflict with them. And look what they have done to us to repay us for our kindness. And God's going, yeah. Yeah. You guys were peaceable about the whole thing. So now he gets done with his prayer. I love this statement. Verse 13, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Don't you know they were all going, we could be dead tomorrow. Everything we see, everything we know could be completely gone. Just like people in Houston right now. And in that area of the country. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord, somebody say the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. Well, we don't need to know any more of his names except this one. He was also the son of Asaph. Asaph was the praise and worship leader of the nation. They had two or three guys that ran all of the 24/7 worship that David set up in his reign. They're still doing that in the temple, in Solomon's temple. So they are locked on to coming to God for this issue. Okay? And everybody's standing there when the Holy Ghost begins to speak. And basically the Holy Spirit said this. He said, I'm going to do this thing with very little help from you, but I want you to participate a little bit. And he said, these guys are coming up. Tells them exactly where they were coming up to. He said, you go out to that place. Tomorrow morning, you go out to that place. They're going to be coming right down that section of land. And I want you to be seen by them. So the next thing that is going to happen is this. I am going to fight this fight for you. You are not going to have to lift a hand. Okay? They're all going, cool. Don't you know that they're into it, man? But guess what they didn't do? Guess what God didn't say to them? God didn't say, you go out and praise and worship God before me. Every time I've ever heard this story, I always thought God told them, you go out and sing praises. That's not what happened. Man, it blew my mind. Here's what happened. Joshua, went to the people. And the people said, let's send out the singers. They arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. Then they went out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is verse 20. Put your trust in the Lord God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted, verse 21, with the people. When he consulted with the people. Then all of the people said to him, to appoint, that's what it means, to appoint those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against each other. So they were all just confused. They start getting mad at each other in the different camps until they all killed each other. And Israel watched. Jehoshaphat and all of his people were standing there going, "Can you believe this?" Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are a warrior in those days, if you're a warrior, you would have armor on. Amen? Okay. But if you are a warrior in our day, you put on bulletproof equipment from head to toe. It's not bombproof, but it's bulletproof. So I want you to get ready in just a moment to stand up, and we're going to do what these guys did. We're going to sing praise to God to end this day, and I'm going to lead you, everybody can participate. I'm going to lead you in things that we're going to praise God for his everlasting love and mercy to visit these situations. So, number one, whatever the biggest issue is in your life, I want you, as we join together and we lift our voices to God singing this song, just say, "Father God, in Jesus' name, right now, I thank you for destroying this army that's set against me, and I am bulletproof." Ha! In fact, I'm not even going to have to lift my weapons up, because the enemy will be routed by the ambushes of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to cover a couple of different things. First, your need, then the issue of the hurricane. And anybody that's been around there knows that they're predicting lots more rain. And man, we got to have that stuff cut off. All right? So let's all stand to our feet. Are you ready to do this? The older you get, it's harder to get up. I know I didn't need to say that, but I did anyway. Amen. Because I heard a few sighs. Oh, yeah. All right. Everybody loosened up? Everybody ready to go in this song? Amen. Right there. Hit it, Jerry. Glory to God. Get that thing that's coming after you. Get that thing in your mind right now. And Father, in Jesus' name, we say that those bullets will never penetrate us. Fear will not. Yes, Lord. Give them hope, Lord. Give them hope today. Yes, Father, give them like my armor now. Now. Through a little doubt. Woo! 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 Yes, Jesus! We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Blessed be your name. His love endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Woo! We're bulletproof. Woo! We're bulletproof. Ha ha. Tiskama. The control. The purple. melody won me. Make me a sergeant dancing and boom. It's something I know. Stepping it from me. What about me now? Seems to me down. Down, 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 down. That's my bulletproof. Because of you. Because of you. Yes, Lord. Bulletproof. Because of you. Because of you. Well, I'm not afraid of what the world may say or what they do. I'm bulletproof. Because of you. Because of you. You, you. I don't want to fear no more, worry no more. I don't have to fear no more, worry no more. I don't have to fear no more, worry no more. I don't have to fear no more, worry no more. Bulletproof, because of you, because of you. I'm bulletproof, because of you, because of you. Love me in a way, I'm not afraid, no matter what the world may say, or what do I do? Bulletproof, because of you, because of you, you, you. I thank you, Lord. Worry no more. I don't want to fear no more. Worry no more. I want to fear no more. Worry no more. I'm going to fear no more. Worry no more. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to God. And let's all say, Father, I thank you for your hand now being stretched out with awesome power for our friends in Texas that are being deluged with water. Father, we thank you now. No lives will be lost. We thank you now that loved ones will join together to bring blessing to this horrible thing. You can turn everything around when people seek you instead of get angry with you over these kinds of things. So, Father, we thank you. Rain, stop! In the name of Jesus. You will stop over that area in a supernatural demonstration. We thank you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that our opponents are defeated today. And we thank you that victory is ours on the 27th day of August. We will see breakthrough now. Woo! Glory to God. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. My, my.